butcher your name. I apologize. Just please let me know how to pronounce it appropriately. Okay, first we have Chief Justice Herndon.
Present.
Thank you. Judge Armstrong. Judge Birchie. Judge Bishop.
Here.
Thank you. Judge De La Garza.
Present.
Thank you. Judge Iding.
Here.
Thank you. Evie Grosnick. Judge Harrington. Chris Hicks. He's
here.
And Chief Judge Higgins will not be here today. Amy Hill.
Present.
Thank you. Judge Hu. Judge Johnson.
Present.
Thank you. Judge Jones.
Present.
Thank you. Nancy Lemke.
Present.
Thank you. Alicia LaRude.
Present.
Thank you. Garrett Pruitt.
Present.
Thank you. Judge Riggs.
Here.
Thank you. Judge Simons.
Present.
Thank you. Judge Soderquist.
I'm here.
Thank you. Jacob Sommer. Judge Toon.
Here.
Thank you. Judge Walker.
Here.
Thank you. Angela Wenke.
I'm here.
Thank you. And Steve Wolfson.
Here.
Excellent. We do have a quorum today. And is there anybody else in attendance that I did not call your name? No? Okay. It's over to you, Chief Justice. Oh, Chief, you're muted.
Yeah, that would be helpful, right? Thank you. All right, thank you again to everybody for being here today and for those of you that were on the commission before. Thank you for taking the time to come back as we kind of reconstitute ourselves and pursue what we're going to be pursuing. Those of you that have joined new, thank you for your willingness to get involved. One of the things that we tried to do, and I was working with Jamie on reconstituting the commission, well, there were two things. Number one was try and maybe skinny it up a little bit. We had a lot of members last time, and that was kind of building this thing from the ground up. So I think that that necessitated obviously getting a lot more people involved, but also it makes it far more difficult to get quorums together and kind of work through things the bigger you kind of get a group. So we did try and skinny things up a little bit, but also the second thing is we tried to maintain the balance that we had before across the state. So as you'll kind of notice from looking at the, and we did our order last week, putting all the membership in place. But what you'll notice is we did the same kind of thing where we wanted to get JPs and uni court judges, district court judges, appellate court judges, DAs, public defenders, court administrators and pretrial services folks involved. So we're getting a good round kind of view of everything. Part of my idea this time was to weight it much more heavily in favor of the justices of the peace and the municipal court judges, just because in my mind, that's where the bulk of the use of this tool occurs. The district court judges get it every so often, but you all in the limited jurisdiction courts get it over and over and over again every day in terms of bail decisions. So I think we have 12 of our members, six of each are limited jurisdiction judges, and there are, if I recall correctly, six from our urban areas and six from our rural areas. And then we have three district court judges, north, south, and rural. We have three court administrator, pretrial services folks. And then we have three district attorneys and three public defender representatives, again, both urban and rural. So I think we've got a pretty good group of folks. And like I said before, I really appreciate everybody's willingness to get involved. For those of you that are new, meet Jamie Graddick and Almeda Harper. The ladies in the Clark or the Carson City conference room up to your left. They are the engines that make pretty much everything run around the AOC and Supreme Court in terms of commissions and committees. So anything you need at any time, you can reach out to them. but we are incredibly blessed to have them both be working with us, both at the appellate court level and with everything they do across the state. So if you've never had an opportunity to meet them at a limited jurisdiction conference or the district judges conference, they're always going to be around there. And like I said, they're terrific, and they're the ones that will always be getting agendas out to us and materials out to us and kind of facilitating all the stuff that we do. So please make sure you take an opportunity to introduce yourselves if that ever arises, as well as thank them for all that they do. Obviously, you know, what we're doing today is very short. We're just kind of talking a little bit about, you know, what transpired in the past, and I don't really want to spend a lot of time getting in the weeds of the creation of the tool, because everybody was either on the committee originally or as new judges or as new members, rather. You've used this tool, so you know what it's all about. The idea of reconstituting the commission comes from the fact that when we first created it, one of the ideas was that at some point in time it was going to need to be revalidated. That is to have somebody come in and kind of go back through all the metrics that we used and kind of work through what has been transpiring since it went into place to make sure it's still working in the way that it was intended to work, and to increase its effectiveness to the extent that's possible. If there are things that we can kind of add to it or things that need to be subtracted from it, so to speak. The original, in your packet of information that you got, I think we had our original order adopting it, which was back in March of 2019, under this ADKT number, obviously 539, where we put the original tool in place. And as part of that, there was an exhibit, I think, that was attached to the order when it got filed. And it's just the form that everybody's familiar with that gets used, the Nevada Pretrial Risk Assessment form. It was attached as Exhibit A. So as we kind of move forward and try and get revalidation done, we've had some discussions. We've reached out to Victor Alston, who was involved in the original creation of it. Unsurprisingly, Mr. Alston indicated that he doesn't think he should be the person to revalidate it, since he was involved in kind of working with us to create it. He suggested, and Jamie, I can't remember who the individual was that Mr. Alston suggested that we reach out to.
The original, I have her contact information. I believe she is an associate of Dr. Austin's, Caitlin O'Connor.
Caitlin O'Connor, okay. And have we had any communication with her yet?
We have. She is at the ready, on standby, if and when we're ready to reach out and go forward with her.
Okay, and do we have information from her about kind of what the cost would be if we're to engage with her?
Not yet. She's waiting to see which route the commission wants to go, and then we can give her the specifics. But she's ready for a phone call whenever we decide if that's the route the group wants to go.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Additionally, as some of you know, there was an effort that was started down in Clark County last year, or last couple of years. I don't recall exactly. So anybody down in Clark County, Steve, Tiara, anybody that may have more information than I do about this, to do a revalidation. That wasn't kind of instituted with our knowledge, to my understanding, at the appellate court level, but it was an effort to engage with somebody back east, Harvard, somebody, I'm not really sure, to kind of hire them to do some revalidation, which was going to be rather expensive, I think. And I think that may have died on the vine. I don't know exactly what occurred. And I apologize, Alicia, if it wasn't you, but I think it was Alicia that had suggested that we reach out to Jennifer Lanterman at UNR, who might be helpful to us in engaging on a revalidation as well. Or maybe it was Judge Toon that put us in contact with Jennifer Lanterman.
Chief Justice, I believe that Andrew Wanky from our team has had those conversations.
Okay, thank
with
you.
Ms. Lanterman.
Okay. So we've got some options. Some of you know Dr. Lanterman because she's on the Nevada Sentencing Commission. So I know Chris is on there with me as well. And so we've had some dealings with her. So we've got some options of people to talk to. Obviously, there's going to be some fiscal impact with who we end up hiring and how much it's going to cost us that we're going to have to give some consideration to. But I'll open it up now to the extent anybody else has any ideas or avenues that they think we should be thinking about moving forward as to how we go about this.
Chief, this is Ryan Toon. I just wanted to note that the Clark County Justice Coordinating Council, they've moved away. So the subcommittee that was looking at that has moved away from the idea of working with Harvard, but there's another place that they're looking at that there was going to be less costs associated. I don't think they've done anything yet. They were going to take their recommendation to the full council, but there might be ways to team up with that group, if it makes sense.
Okay. Do you know who it was that they had moved away from and who they were kind of focusing on now?
So moved away from Harvard, and I'll try and get the name for you. I don't recall it.
Okay. Was it somebody, as far as you know, local, like in-state?
I don't believe it was in-state.
Okay.
I think it might be CMI, but I'm not positive. I can find out from Lindsay of the CJCC.
Okay, that sounds right.
And what is CMI, Mel?
Again, I'm not positive. That's why I need to reach out to Lindsay.
Okay, so we're, and just as far as either of you know, was that trying to create a new tool or trying to do some kind of validation of the existing tool? Because and the only reason I say that, and I didn't have any problem with the idea of the coordinating council trying to get involved in improving the tool, but the tool came out of the ADKT. So if we're going to revalidate it, there's going to have to be an order issued by the Supreme Court about that revalidation, which is why I thought it was important that everybody kind of be on the same page. But anyway, go ahead, Mel.
I think it was about revalidation, and Ryan's correct, or Judge Toon's correct, in saying that the expense through Harvard was going to be astronomical, quite honestly, and they were looking at years of data in order to do the revalidation, and that's why I think they have moved away from Harvard. And I'm not 100% clear as to what the CMI scope of work would be at this point.
Okay.
Judge Herndon, may I speak up and ask?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do we mean by revalidation? Do we mean a review of the tool to determine whether it's working, whether it needs to be modified or not? Is that what we mean by revalidation?
Yeah, I mean, not the idea of recreating it from the ground up, but going through it and making sure it's working the way that it was intended. Is it a valid tool to assess the things that we wanted it to assess? And if it is, are there areas within it that, you know, maybe we missed the mark on? Maybe these shouldn't be weighted the way that they were. Maybe there's different metrics that we need to be adding into that to make it better, improve it, modify it, things of that nature.
So one observation would be that, because I was on the original committee and we spent a lot of time,
right,
under, I believe, Justice Hardesty's leadership, we spent a lot of time with Justice Hardesty to create the tool. My memory is that we've already modified it once, as I recall, where we either deleted something or not. I'm not sure of that. But where I'm going with this is, do we really need an expert? And I'm not sure what the answer to this question is, because the tool seems to be working okay. I'd be very interested to hear, especially from our judges, because they're the ones that use the tool. I mean, prosecutors and defense lawyers get the tool, and we certainly look at it and advocate based on it, but it's the judges that make the ultimate decision. So my question is, do we really need to spend thousands of dollars and spend months or years in a validation process when I think we've got the capability amongst this group to make the same determination? I just throw it out there for thought.
Anybody?
I think the revalidation notion was to have somebody be able to run all of the numbers and crunch a lot of the data rather than relying on my anecdotal notions of how it's going and everybody else's in a similar way. And I think that's kind of why we did the adjustments in the first place. We kind of anecdotally picked and weighted what we thought, then we pulled all that data and went through, and it didn't quite match. It was pretty close to what our anecdotes were, but we were able to tighten it up some.
Okay.
And I think that's kind of what the plan was here, was to kind of do the same sort of a thing, is pull all of the data from all the stuff that like some of the bigger courts have used, maybe everybody's, and then see if it was working, see if maybe some of the stuff didn't track like what we thought it might.
But Judge, how do we define whether the tool is working?
Mr. Wilson, it's a statistical tool. So what we would be doing is double checking. And number one, I think the ADKT required revalidation after a certain amount of time. I thought it was 5 years, I'm not sure. But it's a statistical model. And so the statistics, the assumptions that the statistics are based on need to be revalidated, rechecked, to make sure, for instance, you know, and I'm pulling this off the top of my head, I think that cell phone, correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Wanky, but I think cell phone possession or use or ownership is one of the issues. If that does correlate with the population the way it used to, as far as the likelihood for someone to recidivate. So the reason it has to be revalidated is just because it's a quantitative model, not just a qualitative one.
Anybody else?
I agree with what Judge Riggs just touched upon. You know, one benefit we have now is we have a cohort that we can look back on and analyze that data and really see, was this tool predictive that the person wouldn't reoffend or that the person would reappear in court? We need someone that has the ability to crunch those numbers and see if those adjustments need to happen. Additionally, you know, one major change in our criminal justice system that came a year after we adopted this tool was the Valdez-Jimenez decision, which completely changed the way bail is even addressed in our state. So, you know, we went from an inference of bail to an inference of release. And how does this tool operate under that new system? So I think that's a big factor, and I also think the ability to pull a certain cohort from those charged with crimes that have been released pursuant to this tool in the last 6 years, how many of them reoffended when it suggested they wouldn't? How many didn't appear when it suggested they would? And is it substantial enough for us to revalidate and maybe change some of the factors in the tool in light of Valdez-Jimenez? Thanks.
Thank you, Chris. Anybody else? Tiara, you got your hand up or no? Okay.
And Chief, just when we are looking at what Harvard was concerned with, and one of the things that was driving the cost when we were kind of reaching out to Harvard, is the fact that even though the NPR might be used initially in, let's say, the municipality or the justice courts, in order to find out about somebody recidivating, we need to have the documentation and the information from the district courts. And I think in looking at that, that's what started to become a very, very large idea for them. And so that was one of the considerations when they started giving us, well, I don't think we really got down to a quote, but it started looking like it was going to be an astronomical figure.
Got it.
Yeah, and Justice Herndon, if I can just, this is Nancy Lemke, just to kind of give the group a little additional information relative to what was prospectively being done in Clark County with the CJCC pretrial subcommittee that Judge De La Garza kind of mentioned. I reached out to Lindsay and to get a few more details on kind of where they're at with, you know, moving forward on the revalidation of the assessment. the organization that they have
recording stopped.
Alternatively considered as the Crime and Justice Institute. Lindsay is going to have an update for those of us on the executive committee on Thursday, so we'll have a little bit more information probably at the next meeting. But apparently there is grant money available to the tune of around $70,000 that would be utilized to retain this organization to do that statistical kind of workup of the data to kind of see where we are in terms of the efficacy of the risk assessment protocol that's currently being used. And they think, at least based on the timing that has been offered up by CJI, if they are indeed hired to do that, they could have it done mostly by the end of the year. So if that gives you some idea in terms of cost, in terms of timing, and you know, to the extent that this kind of really needs to come by way of you know, the Supreme Court and ADKT, I always get the letters mixed up, kind of initiative or offering or, you know, mandate, then maybe there can be some collaboration, or, you know, maybe this organization can kind of utilize what the Justice Court has already put in process to kind of get this revalidation done on a cost-effective and timely, time-effective basis.
So, and I apologize if I missed this.
Recording in progress.
You said CJI and Mel mentioned CMI, but yeah. Not the same thing?
I think so. I think, yes. I mean, Mel, right? I think it's yeah.
Okay. And then $70,000 in grant money, I'm assuming that's federal grant money.
Yes, I would assume so. I think it's MacArthur Foundation.
And
yes.
How long ago was it that we figured that we were going to have that money, and is it still available?
I don't know, I'm assuming so. Yes, good point. And I'm just assuming I'll get an update on Thursday, and then, you know, I can let Your Honor know once we get some additional information. But Lindsay does say that she'll have an update for us on Thursday.
And Chief, to my knowledge, yes, that money is still available. And again, the parameters were much smaller in this, and Nancy's correct, it's CJI. That's why I needed to confirm, sorry. I'm at a conference and I don't have didn't bring my notes with me, but it is CJI. The parameters were gonna be much smaller. It was just basically going to be looking at the numbers out of Las Vegas Justice Court, which of course, to truly revalidate, the scope would have to be much larger.
Right. So do you know, could CJI do it statewide if there was a supplement to their grant, or were they just wanting to focus on Las Vegas Justice Court numbers and confine themselves to that?
I think that's absolutely a question that we could ask them, and we could ask Lindsay, and we could probably get that update on Thursday. I think the reason that they were just focusing on Las Vegas Justice Court is because basically we were trying to work within that particular budget of the $70,000. Okay. So those are absolutely questions that we could ask of Lindsay and the CJCC if they wanted to expand their study. And I'm not even sure that they are capable of that, but those are questions we could absolutely ask.
Okay. Yeah, and to go back to Steve's original point, I mean, I think the tool works if for no other reason than it provides information to judges, kind of synthesizes a bunch of information and gets it to judges to utilize. Whether it's working to the extent we want it to, whether it's as beneficial as we want it to, whether it's as predictive as we want it to be, those are the kind of things that the validation or revalidation hopefully will assist us with. And you're right, Steve. I think there were a couple of different things that, you know, when we originally came up with it, we kind of moved off of. And some of those were, you know, the state didn't keep criminal arrest and conviction information in a consistent way throughout the state that allowed to just use one number for purposes of the tool. And I think that, you know, there was a debate about should it focus on conviction? Should it take into account arrests? You know, if various jurisdictions around the state aren't reporting things the same way, then that kind of leads to some inconsistency and maybe we need to change some of the metrics. So it was certainly an evolution over the course of time from when we first started in, I think, 2016 until we got to the point of issuing that order in 2019. And I don't know that the order itself said we have to revalidate it, but everybody kind of came to acknowledge, hey, we're going to want to do some type of revalidation of this thing. And I think that was being talked about when I first joined the court. But then Justice Hardesty left, and so it kind of got stalled for a little bit. But so maybe first steps are we reach out to Dr. Lannerman, we reach out to CJI, whether you talk to them on Thursday, and just kind of get some information from them about what the scope of work would be to do a statewide investigation of revalidating this thing, so we understand kind of what the cost would be, and we can consider how we're going to end up paying for that, whether it's through grants or out of the court's budget in some fashion. Not that I have, every time I go in front of the legislature, I got a little bit of my ass taken away in terms of the state budget. So, you know, pardon me for that analogy, but that's kind of what I feel like. So, but if we can certainly do what we need to find some money for something of this nature, because it's important that we get this done.
Yeah, and just Justice Herndon, I reached out to Lindsay since Your Honor was speaking and asked if she thought that there was the capability and the willingness to expand the revalidation to a statewide protocol. Okay. And she said that she thought that they would. So I'll discuss more with her in the coming days and let you know.
Yeah, and just ask them, you know, how would that increase the time to be able to get this done and the cost? And then Jamie, maybe we can reach out to the folks we were referred to as well to kind of get that same kind of information. Hey, if we were to engage with you, what kind of time period would be necessary to do a statewide revalidation and the cost?
Okay, I'll take care of it. Am I muted?
We are.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Muted. We'll take care of it.
Okay, thank you. All right, did anybody have anything else they wanted to bring up in terms of first steps or things we need to be doing in the immediacy before we can get somebody on board to start the process?
Justice Herndon, yep. Angie Wiecki from Second Judicial. So I recently reached out to Dr. Lanterman for local revalidation.
Okay.
I didn't know if you wanted me to reach out to her again to see what it would look like for a statewide, or if you wanted Jamie and then Alameda to do that.
Well, why don't you guys just get together? I mean, if you've already got that relationship have been started, I'm sure that they would greatly appreciate your help. It doesn't matter to me who does it, obviously, but just kind of keep everybody circled in so that we're not having a bunch of independent conversations if we could.
Of course. Okay. I'll follow up with you, Angie. We can do that.
Okay. And then after, we'll kind of hold off setting another meeting until after we can kind of get in contact with folks and get some idea. We'll circulate some emails. And if we have a couple of proposals that we can consider and cost issues that we can consider, then we can gather the group back together and kind of take a vote on which avenue we want to pursue, and then start setting some more regular meetings once we have somebody hired.
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, then good. Short meeting. Thank you. appreciate it. Thanks again to all of you for your willingness to get involved, and I greatly appreciate it. And we will be in touch once we get some information through JCI and through Dr. Lannerman, and get it out to everybody to consider, and then we'll get some emails out about setting another meeting, okay?
Wonderful.
All right.
Thank you.
Where are you, Mel?
Thank you.
I'm in San Antonio.
I love San Antonio.
Really? Where can I go and eat?
Well, when I was a kid, I used to go and fall in the river on the river walk all the time. They didn't have a fence back then, but my grandparents lived there. You go eat anywhere, right? It's just great food.
Okay.
Right? You've got Texas roots.
I do, but I just didn't know if you had the hot spot here in San Antonio.
No, I'm not a real foodie kind of person, but
okay.
I don't think I've ever had a bad meal in San Antonio, I can tell you that.
Nice. All right.
Enjoy yourself.
Thank you. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.